All right, this is week three of the Road to a Billion. This has become a really, really fun series, and I'm going to keep it up for probably the rest of my life. The only thing that's going to change with it is pretty much the type of content, types of things I'm saying, because I'm growing as a person throughout these vlogs. Also, the platform that's being posted on right now, I'm just posting these on YouTube, and I'm posting daily versions on TikTok, Facebook Reels, Instagram Reels, and YouTube Shorts. But those will likely change in the future. I think that things will be moving towards decentralized social media in the future. At what point, I can't tell, and nobody can tell the future of that. I just think that with so much uncertainty in the social media landscape right now, with TikTok potentially being banned in the US, and then with things like Twitter being taken over by Elon Musk, all their advertisers leaving, content creators not knowing what's going on with the platform, I could totally see so many things transitioning where people are wanting more certainty in the places where they're spending so much time creating content, which could easily lead to a more decentralized landscape, because that's what happened with financial cryptocurrencies, is that people are wanting a more safe alternative than keeping their money in banks and in other things, because they don't feel safe with that anymore and they want a decentralized component. So that's why I think that is going to happen with social media in the future. But specifically in this video, we actually have a decent amount to run through because I was crushing out work up until Christmas time. It was just Christmas weekend. It's Monday right now, December 26th, so day after Christmas, and a lot of people were off work, so was able to have a lot of time doing catch up. Also did some really fun things, like Kendall's my girlfriend, we went up to Big Bear and went skiing. We did a lot of like family activities, going to dinner and stuff over the weekend, so that was super fun. But mainly in this, I'm going to be talking about like the work component of things. Let's start off with some positives. Some three major wins for the week is, number one, I got access to several new guaranteed publications, and then also TV media outlets for high level clients. That was just Kendall in the background. Of course, there's a pre-approval process for getting our high-level clients feature on these publications, even though we have guaranteed access. But that was really cool, huge for our clients. And we've actually already started releasing on some of these new publications that we just got access to. Another thing is we've been having pretty good results. And this is just like something sharing, pretty good results on the sales side of things with our cold email marketing. We just brought on a new cold email marketer who had a ton of experience in cold email marketing space, specifically for digital marketing agencies. We never really had a good success rate with cold email marketing in the past. What we found out, the difference between this one person who came in and started implementing his processes compared to the other people, is the customization component. And that when you go into somebody's inbox, they're most likely going to open it. Because like our previous team still had a 60% open rate on their emails, like with thousands of emails being sent. They just had a horrible response rate. And that's because they felt like a bot was just sending an email. And even myself, I can notice that when somebody sends me an email, I'll immediately mark it as spam or put it in my archive section, unless it has a really customized component to it, like video specifically for me, where I feel like the obligation to take my time out of my day, like whether it be like 30 seconds or a minute to send a response if they spent so much time just specifically outreaching to me type thing. What we've been using is we use the software called Instantly. It's an amazing software. If you have Gmail accounts in your G Suite account, you can run through a bunch of different domains. Huge cold email marketing rabbit hole that you can run down. But basically, how it works is you don't want to be sending out cold emails from your main email address. Like ours is heikeagency.com. That's our main email address. That's what all of our team members have. You don't want to be sending out emails from that email address, because you could blacklist the email address. Even with staying within the realms of how many emails that you send out per day, it's just because if people repeatedly mark it as spam, then you can blacklist it. So you want to be buying a bunch of domains. We use Google domains to keep and store all of our domains. And then we have a G Suite server to hold all of our email domains. And it makes it really, really easy. And then we basically have 10 different domains that all redirect back to heikeagency.com. So we have like heikenews.com, heikeinternational.com, a bunch of ones that are just miscellaneous domains. They redirect to heikeagency.com. And then we do a bunch of emails across all of those so that we're not jeopardizing one of our main emails. And then we have all of these emails, and you can easily upload them into Instantly. Once you get into Instantly, it's like literally $99 a month, super easy. Go in there, you add all the emails. This isn't sponsored by Instantly or anything. Once you have all the emails uploaded to instantly, then you have to have a contact leads list. There's so many different softwares that you can use for leads lists. You can also go onto Upworks and hire somebody to manually scrape, or go onto Fiverr and hire a VA to manually scrape leads in your specific industry. It helped out a ton doing that. And with that component of things, we've been having some pretty good results. So I'll definitely keep you posted on how that goes over the next like month or two. Another win for the week is I was able to fully catch up on a lot of my internal messaging. Basically, a lot of managers on our team were needing my help to get back to, specifically on the press side of things. Christmas and the holidays in December is a really weird time to go through in the PR space, because there's so many problems that you can run into. Like, for example, some people go on holidays in early December, some people are going holidays at the end of December, some people are going holidays all the way until the beginning of January. These are writers going on holidays, different media ops going on holidays, vendors that we're working with for publishing. And so literally like everything is delayed, and there's so much ambiguity about exact timelines and what we pride ourselves in at High Key. And like literally what I drill into with all of our managers and any single person that we hire is like speed of communication and very, very high level communication. We deal with top 1% of clients, and top 1% of clients need top 1% of communication, which is they never have to follow up, extremely fast communication, extremely thorough communication, and communicating everything in one message, not in multiple messages, not leaving space for ambiguity where like they think things are unclear, having everything laid on the table for them. It's a little hard to do that in a time like December when there is so much stuff outside of our control. It's hard to explain that to a client who's not really familiar with the landscape, or like a new client. And so definitely ran into some issues there where we are onboarding new clients and we haven't been able to put our best foot forward during this month because there are so many delays. I'm definitely going to have to take that into consideration. And I took this into consideration last year too, and the year before that, where it always happens during Christmas and the holidays time, especially with bringing on new clients, is that it's such a hard thing where you have such a short period of time to build an extremely good first impression with a client. And when the first impression is outside of our control, it makes it extremely difficult. I just wanted to make a note of that. One thing that was super cool is Kendall and I had a trip planned to Japan. We were pending booking the tickets. We already had a place booked in Japan. This is at the end of January. We're going on like a 10-day trip there. Still going to be working a ton, but I actually found a pretty good like balance between going on certain trips and being able to work a ton in like the early morning and evenings during the times where I'm not that focused and productive anyways. Like there's usually about like a 4-hour time span during the days. I think this is for most people, is where you know you're not going to get like any focused work done. I have the early mornings and basically afternoons and evenings very productive for me. Middays, where there's like a 4-hour span, not that productive. I can just go skiing or like work out or do all my stuff during that time. And then I'm getting the same amount of work as I normally would get done, except it's all focused work. I've really enjoyed that. And I've been able to balance kind of doing really fun things with still crushing out work. This is a cool thing. Just wanted to share it because it was fun for me to like look into. And I always used to look into this type of stuff as a kid, except I've never been able to do it. So basically, we run up all of our expenses throughout the entire company on our American Express cards. And so if you have a really good American Express, like the Platinum or Gold card, and you run a lot of expenses, you can get like 4x points for grocery shopping, 4x points for restaurant expenses. There's a bunch of ones that you get a bunch of points. We have 7 figures of points saved up from just spending over like the past year or whatever. And it's actually a ton of points if you know how to use them in the right way. You can transfer over American Amex points. If you go to Amex.com and then you go to the rewards platform, you can transfer them over to any partner platform. We're going to Japan, and the best flights to Japan are usually with this flight called ANA.com. We transferred the points over to ANA.com. We were able to book some really good flights for completely for free. All we had to do was like pay for the taxes and fuel charges. And so it was really cool actually being able to put that into action after thinking about it for so long. It's just annoying that I had that in the back of my head when I was younger. It just that I wasn't able to do it because I didn't even have enough money to get points, or I didn't even have enough money to spend on expenses. And so it was cool actually putting that into action. Another thing that just came into my mind is this is a strategy that somebody could actually implement for the email marketing stuff that I was talking about before. This is something really cool. And just thinking creatively, for example, if somebody was targeting real estate agents, like your entire business was targeting real estate agents and you wanted top of the line real estate agents, you could go to Zillow in a specific area and filter by real estate agents who like just bought or sold a property and basically send them a cold email through instantly the platform that we were talking about, being like, congratulations on selling home number so-and-so. And then you're sending a customized email out to them where they're for sure going to open it. And then you know that they also just got a huge influx of cash because they made like whatever their cut was, 2.5%, 3% on the sale of the property. You know exactly how much they made if it was like a six-figure, seven-figure, like eight-figure property. Huge technique that one of my sales managers in the past brought up to me. And that was just like thinking creatively. And there's so many different ways that you can do that based off of like whatever your niche is. One thing that I learned that was pretty cool is I was over for dinner this weekend at Kendall's dad's place. And it was a huge family gathering. And I was talking with her dad, and he definitely is of a huge entrepreneurial mindset. And one thing that he said, which was pretty cool, is separating your days into three different types of days, which are basically focus days, buffer days, and free days. And I kind of like the thinking of that. And I'm definitely going to try and find a way to implement that because I agree to it when you think about it. So focus days are basically where you're performing. That's like top of the line, whatever it is. In my line of work, it would probably be stacking up sales meetings, stacking up big managerial decision meetings, probably like client facing or managerial type work where I'm actually communicating probably over call. I would have like two or three call days per week. And then buffer days are getting ready for those performance days and then doing back-end work, all the extra work that just piles on type thing, and separating those. And then free days, you're basically having those free days that are completely free. And I liked it because Michael Jordan, for example, or like any single extremely good athlete or actor or any of those people, they can't be on the basketball court literally playing in a finals game every single day. That doesn't work. Like, you literally can't do that. You'd burn out or you'd suck, or there would be a component that would be extremely lacking. You got to have those preparation days, and you got to have completely free days to prepare for those big time days to have the absolute best performance. And so I really like that. And if you didn't know, I've been going through this high performance journal. This is basically where I write down my weekly recaps. I write down my 90-day goals at the beginning. So it goes 90-day goals, it does weekly recaps, and then it also does daily goal setting and daily recaps / like to-do lists. I try and use it every day, but sometimes it just doesn't even make sense to use it based off of what I'm doing. But with these vlogs, it's coming in handy doing like weekly recaps. And I have been doing this for the past 3.5 years, these blue journals, I call them, but they're high performance journals. And so basically going through, I just want to finish off this vlog with a few things of that's missing from our company that I'm really trying to look to implement near the beginning of 2023. And I'll be keeping it updated in this vlogs. One thing is the transferring of new knowledge throughout the company. So we've done a really good job at establishing, I hate the word, but it's like SOPs, basically just onboarding a lot of material to transfer over knowledge to new people coming on board, a set of expectations for all people who are coming on board. So we have all of that completely set up. We have a really good onboarding process for practically like all of our departments. But with our fast-growing mentality and with the industry that we're in and how we're constantly being at the cutting edge of everything, so we're constantly giving our clients access to new services. Like for example, when we gave our clients access to us delivering Google panels for them, that was a new service that was like a lot of ambiguity could arise from it and actually how to process those types of services. That type of stuff always comes up. And I find that there's a problem with transferring that knowledge to a lot of different people in our company. And so I definitely have to think about what the best way to do that is in terms of when new major things come up, the best way of transferring it, that knowledge over to everybody. So it's not just in my head or not just into my operation manager's head, but in every single person's mind so that they can all consider it going forward. Another thing is accounting processes. This is huge. We have our basic accounting processes down. Like we have a bookkeeper, we have a CPA team in Puerto Rico that handles all of our yearly taxes. The problem is that we don't have like a proper CFO in place where we're doing like forecasting. We're doing a lot of stuff that's proactive instead of reactive. That's something I definitely want to implement in 2023. And I'm actually already in the process of doing that. It's something we should have definitely done earlier. It's an excuse, but we've had so much stuff that's happened over the past few years that's taken up more time that I've prioritized higher than that. And then the last thing is, and this is practically with any single business and isn't just with us, but more leads coming in. We have consistent lead flow through the pipelines that we currently have. It's just that we need to be able to get to the next level of bringing leads in so that we can bring on more people and be able to spend more on advertising, be able to, and then of course, get more sales. The reason we haven't increased our lead flow in with, like, for example, direct ads, where we haven't really done much at all with Facebook ads, Instagram ads, TikTok ads at all. And the reason is because we've struggled to get our team on a consistent basis of cold calling all of our leads in our pipeline. And this is something that we've been turning around over the past couple of months, but we find it very difficult when people are on strictly commission based with no base salary, commission fee structure, to be extremely motivated to outbound call when they're getting booked on calls as well. We had to reorient a few things within our sales structure. We have setters coming onto our team. Setters are like the middle layer of our funnel. And when setters are coming onto the team, they aren't given book calls by our SDRs, sales development representatives. They aren't given book calls by them until they make a certain amount of weekly outbound calls to people already within our pipeline. Basically, we've been setting this up. I think it's going to be rolling extremely good going into January. And if it does, I'll be keeping you guys updated, obviously. We have such a high lifetime value per customer that we can justify spending a lot in terms of direct advertising to bring a new lead into the business. Basically, once we have things set with our setters doing a lot of cold calling, it's going to be pretty much game over. We're going to literally run every single ad possible, YouTube ads, Google ads, Instagram ads, anything that you can think of. So that's going to be really cool. And one last thing that was really cool is got delivered this Tiger Thick Whiskey. Is it good? Let me see. Tiger Thick Whiskey. Super sick. These guys are a client of ours, and we're doing a huge press campaign for them across the US and internationally. Their product is absolutely amazing. Their branding sick. Really looking forward to crushing that out over the next year. You can check them out on Instagram and on Google too. So yeah, that's gonna be really fun. This was a pretty cool video. I liked it a lot. I liked sharing all this information. I'm really liking just getting this, like, I don't really care about anybody watching this. I hope some people get some value on this. And I'm gonna try in the future videos to incorporate more value for the viewers, actually, because I want to do a combination of giving value, but then also so like for my personal purposes of just documenting everything. Yeah, if you watch this, I'll appreciate it and catch you on the next one. This is vlog number 3 of Road to a Billion, the first ever, and I don't think anybody is ever going to do this again, but the Road to a Billion series of somebody who's actually going to become a billionaire. So, dope. Peace.